This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is sponsored by Burger King, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, the Progressive Liberal Party, Royal Star Assurance, BTC, and the Free National Movement.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. It looks like we were having some issues trying to connect there. I don't know why, but thankfully, it's been resolved. How we can proceed. If you want to call us today at any point, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother catches the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. A couple of things I want to mention today. And they both actually have to do with politics in a very real way, and both happen to be very important to forward, right? And the first thing I wanted to talk about is, like, I wonder sometimes the extent to which the people who are running for political office in the country recognize and accept that their example is important in setting the tone for how the country has regard for what we are seeking to do as a country. What do I mean by that? Okay. We are in the midst of a pandemic. Unless somebody has forgotten, it is still a very serious matter. It remains a deadly situation for lots of people. It remains a very harmful situation for lots of people. It is a situation in which the whole country's social, physical, and economic well-being is at risk. Okay. We have decided to call an election in the midst of that campaign, that pandemic. One would think that extraordinary care and attention would be paid to how we conduct ourselves as a political grouping during the course of this pandemic because it is so serious. And in this regard, it's not merely the government taking that extra care. It is the individual political operatives and their parties doing so. Here you are, as political candidates, as political organizations, you're saying, look at me. Here I am. I want to lead you. Lead you to do what, actually? I want to lead you in a law-abiding, civil, just, peaceful, orderly society. Lest we forget, the Constitution of the Bahamas describes the government of the Bahamas, as in the executive, as responsible for the direction and control and the good governance and order of the state, the country, and gives power to the parliament to make laws for the good order and peace of the state. So what is the principal responsibility of the people seeking to be elected to the House of Assembly? To participate in the production of laws for the good order and peace of the Bahamas. If that then is true, your example should exemplify the practice of the job that you are interviewing for. Meaning, therefore, you ought to be the most cautious about your conduct and behavior in this pandemic as it relates to the orders, lawful orders given by the authorities in the country with regard to behavior in the pandemic. Unless a court of law in the Bahamas deems those laws to be unconstitutional, they are lawful and therefore required to be obeyed by the country. If you therefore are going to be the facilitators of the passage of laws, why would your example in the pandemic not reflect the best display of your capacity and willingness to not merely pass laws, but be in compliance with the laws you pass. How does it not undermine your ability to say to the people, look, we have passed these laws, you should obey them, when they get to point to circumstances in which you have ignored, defied, disobeyed those laws when it was not your law having been passed? How is that possible? I'm an agent. Having passed the laws, having given orders, that you would not think I should be especially cautious not to contravene, not to disobey, not to fail to comply with these laws. After all, it was my party administration that put them in place. Something is definitely wrong with that picture. For election to the House, the legislative body of the country. And yes, it is typical on nomination day to have displays of strength. That's what happens when you bring that crowd and demonstrations of enthusiasm. That's what happens when you have all that music and ruckus. And demonstrations of unity, that's where you come, people look and dress similarly so they can show forceful, united, enthusiastic support. That is typical. That's standard. I've been part of the process for four cycles. But we are in a period of time in which the government of the Bahamas invoked provisions of the Constitution that curbs the basic fundamental rights of Bahamians in order that is a health risk and a socioeconomic risk to the country. And yet, some decided, the hell with that. I don't care about all that. I am going to carry my crowd, my rush up, play like we are in normal times, and go get nominated. And in the process of doing so, expect that right-thinking, observing Bahamians will ignore that and say, yeah, you should get my vote. Yes, you should get my vote, defiant one. Yes, you who seek to become a lawmaker, seemingly breaking the law, you should get my vote. And don't see anything wrong with that. Come on, man. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. On this occasion, on chalking it up to youthful indiscretion, chalking it up to the naivety of newness as Prime Minister Owen Arthur once used to describe one of his newly elected political colleagues in the region. So we can give you a blight and say, okay, it's okay. All right. Anyway, I have with... So we'll give you a pass on that and say, listen, as you go forward, as you go forward, please let's don't do this no more. No more. Please. Don't let's do this no more. Because that display by some is highly challenging. Listen to me. People are dying from COVID. Not no few people. People are getting extremely ill from COVID. Not any few people. The country is internationally facing backlash from others in their perception of what we are dealing with. We should be careful, and that care should be led by our leadership and the people who are contending to be in the leadership of the country. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to you about another matter. We'll be back after this break. I'm afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids in school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
Because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best behavior at international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Over the hill, Dr. Minnis learned the importance of education. That's why the FN is delivering on its commitment to expand education access, improve academic opportunities, and push to make the University of the Bahamas tuition-free. And it's why the FN is repairing and building schools in every corner of the Bahamas, paving the way to a brighter future. The FN is making a difference for the next generation of Bahamians. September 16th, vote FN. Because it's about your future.
This has been a paid political announcement from the Free National Movement.
Best rates, no light! Best rates, no light!
CTC gives more savings on the best fiber internet. It's super fast with super savings in every package. Compare and see for yourself. Enjoy up to 150 megabits, 157 TV channels, and unlimited home phone minutes for only
$99.99. Best
rates,
no light!
Visit a BTC store, sign up for the best internet experience on the Bahamas' best fiber network. Conditions apply.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window. John! Johnny Moe's blowing down the whole frying chicken. Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I point my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Send pics of the damage, file my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of
app. You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The PLP is hosting an economic summit where financial experts and business leaders share ideas and plans for transforming the Bahamian economy. Speakers will discuss the PLP's economic plan, a new blueprint to create a Bahamian economy that works for everyone. Discussions include opportunities in high tech, renewable energy, and training for entrepreneurs. .com and learn how you can be part of a new Bahamian economy.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody! Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. Let's run together through the storm. Whatever weather, call the warm. Let me know that you're not alone. I love if you feel like you need to save the
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust again that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at all today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 5-431-6325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. That's 4393043. Just talking a little earlier about cautioning these candidates and political operatives and parties to demonstrate some discipline in lawful compliance and be sure to follow the rules that have been set in this pandemic, because we don't want to burden our system anymore. We don't want to burden our people anymore. We don't put more people at risk. Okay, be careful, man. Come on. You are the leadership, or you're vying for the leadership of the country. Let that mean something. We've got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hello. Right, go ahead, caller.
Hi, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I went down to Michael Road to do some business. I just want to bring something to your attention. You might get pointed out to the powers to be. On the southbound lane heading on Milo Butler Highway, It looks like they had an accident, and one of the light poles is leaning over into the lane, into the road. And somebody in a bus or a truck, not paying attention, could run straight into that pole.
Okay.
Okay.
This is on heading
towards State Avenue.
Okay. All right, well, hopefully maybe somebody's listening. I know Donovan Moxie and Doors oftentimes have people who are listening to the show. In fact, I'm going to be talking to him soon. This week. So maybe they can go ahead and do that. Thank you very much for being responsible in doing that, eh?
All right, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Okay. So, the issue at Water and the Sewage Corporation, in which there appears to be some conflict involving the chairman and someone very well known to him, or with whom he used to have a relationship or something. Now, I do not of this situation. I can't claim to have been able to confirm what the issue is. I think that very real and pertinent questions exist in respect of the matter, and will have to be determined in due course. On the face of it, I have to say, it does not look good on the face of it, what is being alleged or what appears to be so. But again, we have to be careful not to rush to judgment in these matters. So, because as my colleague Juan McCartney rightly said, people's reputations, lives, and livelihoods are at stake in these matters. However, I want to give us some context for these kinds of things, having just today been a part of a presentation dealing with matters like this, just today, right? on matters of ethics, not ethic, which has to do with like your work dedication and commitment. That's what we say, somebody's work ethic. In with regard to standards of conduct and behavior, we're talking about ethics. And in trying to understand how to see these matters, a person in public life, and by public life or person in a public office, which is a member of parliament, you're serving the public, a senator, you're serving the public, you're the chairman, executive chairman of a public corporation, meaning you are working for the people of the country. When you are in that position, there is something that happens to you. Now, I want to help you understand what happens. So before you become such a person, you are in private life. That's most people who are listening to me right now. You are in private life. You're not serving the public. If you're a civil servant, you're serving the public, but you're not a politician as such, but you do have a duty in that office too. So this relates to you too. So, but you are once you're in private life, here's what is true. Your private interest gets to be preeminent, meaning you don't have an obligation or duty to put anyone's interest above your own. That's true in private life. And you will always have a private interest. No one on this planet Earth have a private interest. No one. We all have private interests. We have a private interest to live. We have a private interest to be healthy. We have a private interest to earn and prosper, maybe. We have a private interest to be safe, to be comfortable. We have a private interest to have our families okay. And we all have private interests. That is a given in human life. And if you want to know if you have a private interest, you let your life be at stake and at risk. And let yourself have to choose between you and somebody else's life in order to save your own life. You want to know if you have a private interest? You just let that happen. You'll see. You have a private interest. That's your own. And you can be absolutely fully dedicated and committed to the pursuit of your private interest. And don't have to feel bad about it. Don't have to feel in conflict about it. It is your private interest. Now, that private interest does have other issues it can run up against, like your family interest. You can have a private personal interest, and your family can have an interest, and you can do things that conflicts with your family interest, right? And the well-being of your family, right? If you abuse your children, you are working against your family interest, even if that abuse for you, for some reason or the other, is in pursuit of your private interest, right? And if you take it far enough, the state will say to you, you've crossed the line to the point where you are now going to have to face charges for abuse. You can also have interest that conflicts with the community interest. So for instance, you live in a community and the neighbors in that community says, it's too dark around here. We need some lights. So they go and petition the government to put up some lights. The government puts up some lights, and one of the lights shines right in your bedroom as an individual, and you have difficulty sleeping. Well, you don't want that light there. You tell the government, move it somewhere else. Well, the community is satisfied, most of them, that this is where the light should be. Your private interest says, I want that light away from here because I want that. Says, we want that light there because we need brightness in this area for safety. So now your private interest and the community interest is in conflict. Again, once you're in private life, you have a private interest, you have the right to be dedicated to that private interest. But something happens when you take up a post. For instance, forget politics for a moment. If you take on a job in a company, there can also be conflicts between your private interest and your company's interest. Your private interest could say, I can get more money if I give some of this stuff away to some of my folk and they just pay me a little something on the side so I can get it. The company's interest is to maximize profits. You are now undermining the company's interest because what you're using the company's products, which it will no longer be able to sell, and you are simply giving it away but at a discount, and the money doesn't go to the company, the money goes to you. And that's theft. But again, it's your theft, but you're in conflict with your company, your company's interest. And it happened because you took on a job at the company. Before that time, you had no such conflict. When you decide and when you are elected and you move into public life, something happens. Listen to me. What happens is you carry over into that public life your private interest, because you still have it. You still care about yourself. You still care about your family. You still care about your friends. You still care about your lovers. You still care about your particular things. Nothing changes. You're still the same human being. But when you get to the other side, you meet an interest that's superior to yours. It's called the public interest. Right? It wasn't your responsibility before. But having been elected by the people, when you go on the other side, there is an interest that is superior to yours so long as you are acting in your capacity as an elected or appointed public official. And that's called the public interest. And that public interest is to generate sustainable value for the people of the country, the community, not any particular individual, but for the collective people of the country. That is now the public interest. Whatever they need, the people, whatever they aspire toward, the people, your primary principal responsibility is to pursue that. Now, again, your private interest is not eradicated. It still exists. But now it ranks secondary, even tertiary, to the public interest. And whenever there is a decision to be made between your public interest and your private interest, the public interest should prevail. That's how it should work. Only when the two are in conflict, though. When the two can't happen at the same time. For instance, let's not fool ourselves. A politician can use a public office to personal advantage. He can, or can gain personal advantage in public office. Who believes that if you are an elected official and you go to an airline, and I'm talking about a private airline, and you are known to those people that they might not decide, let me give you a treatment that is different than what would be afforded my normal customers. Anybody believes that? You got to be out of your head if you believe that. It happens. It even happens to significant business people, right? So your office can bring you into benefits, but somebody giving you a privilege of early or easier handling doesn't conflict with the public interest. doesn't conflict. Courtesy extended to you. You didn't ask for it. It's a courtesy. So that's not the issue. The issue is this contract could be $100,000 if I give it to Joe Blow, who I do not know, but who won the contract or who got the best bidder on the contract, or it could go for $150,000 to someone I know. The public would be better served by a contract for $100,000 that does and gets the job done. That would be in their interest to save their money than to give $150,000 out to someone I know to do the same value work and cost the public more. Now I am in conflict because I'm doing something that is adverse. Listen to me carefully. Adverse to the public interest by doing, given the $150,000 contract. Now, if the two contract comes in a tie, both $100,000, and decisions have to be made between the two, and you decide that you can give it to the person you know, it does not financially adversely impact the public, but you have a reputational consideration that can come into play, and that can be affected by the award of that contract. And to the extent that politicians trade on popularity and trust, where your reputation is even if you didn't do anything adverse to the public, that then becomes a matter for you as a public officer, because even though the injury isn't to the public's interest, it is to you as a trusted figure. And trust in public life is important, and that's why we are told and taught to avoid of such. Now, in a small country, it's easy to come into those issues where everybody knows everybody and lots of people are your people. Do we have a call on the line still, or did I miss them? I'm so sorry. I didn't see this. I'm sorry, caller. If you can call back. Please forgive me. Okay? So in matters of conflict of interest, what I wish you to know most clearly is the issue is whether I am choosing, the politician is choosing, the public officer is choosing their interests above the interests of the country, the public. It's not that they don't have an interest, but they're choosing their personal interest above that of the country. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good.
I'm sorry to have you waiting.
No problem. Your first topic, right? You said
yes.
The parties, remember now, political science is a game of show, numbers.
Yes.
I can't come to the tent, but it's a game of numbers. I mean, only one man to blame is Menace. The sitter he meet with the doctors and nurses, like our CEO, and ask them, what can I do? You want me to bring in nurses? You want me to rent a hospital, rent a convention center? What drugs do you need? He ain't never done yet. So only one man to blame for this circus show we have right now during this death crisis is our beleaguered Dr. Prime Minister. Nobody else. Because Brave is like a peacock. Once you get him excited, you got to show big. Brave got to show his base and the voters who undecided that he has the crowd. That's politics, right? Mr. Lang?
My friend, hold on.
Yes.
It might be politics, right? It might be politics. But I'm sorry, friend. How is it that you are asking me to be a lawmaker and then you are defying the things that have been put in place to protect
the people. I got to do what I got to do to win.
Well, there you go. So Minnesota got to do what he has to do too.
Why he going to the election?
Got to do what she got to do too. Ali McIntosh got to do what she got to do too. Everybody just do what they got to do.
This time, why he called the election? Why he leaving the doctors?
I'm not arguing with you about whether the timing of this election is unfortunate, because I'm agreeing with you. But that doesn't mean, because the prime minister does something unfortunate, that I must do things unfortunate as well.
Action, there is a reaction.
I got you, brother. No problem, man. Let it rip. No problem. This text says, Mr. Lang, what do you mean people's lives are at stake? When you enter public life, you open yourself up to scrutiny and attack. Politics is said to be a dirty game, so those who enter must adjust accordingly. Man, that's the most ignorant something I heard in a long time. So it's a dirty profession, so just go in and be dirty, or acknowledge that you can find dirt in it. I mean, are you serious? Is that the standard that you set for yourself and your children? Listen, child, you know children is thief. You know children is do wrong. So you can do wrong because that's a part of the game. Come on. Is that what you're saying? I know you didn't really mean it that way, man. I know you. Text me back at that. That ain't what you really, really, really mean. All right? So I can give you a pass. I don't believe you believe that. Oh, boy. Okay. We got some more text here we can get to before we go to the break. Says, the government getting bad marks, not the people. Successes belong to the politicians and failures to the people. That's a lot of times true. Says, good afternoon. Can you explain how it's the public's money that politicians spend? I'm not 100% clear on that. Oh, yeah, man. If you are the head of a government corporation, if you're the head of a government ministry, like a minister, then the money you are spending is received from the taxpayers. That's not given to you personally. That is what we call money in trust, meaning that it was given to be managed to the benefit of the people who paid it. And so when you spend it, you're spending the public's money. Okay, so I hope you understand that. Every nickel and dime received by the government of the Bahamas is public funds, belongs to the collective people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the taxpayers of the Bahamas. It is to be used only to their benefit. And that's what we mean by public funds. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for the news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. You're listening to the Guardian News Network. I'm Taylor Ferguson. Here's what's making news. Thank you for tuning in. Consultant Physician Staff Association President Dr. Sabra K. Pinder Butler slamming activities on nomination day Friday, saying it could make an already bad COVID situation worse. She described some politicians and their supporters as irresponsible, as many of them ignored COVID safety protocols amid a frightening surge in cases.
I definitely don't think it was the responsible thing to do. I think that all of the persons involved should have limited the numbers of their supporters. I absolutely understand the importance of being able to know and for you to feel like you have support, but it could have been done in a different fashion.
More than 3,000 COVID cases recorded in the Bahamas in the month of August. Health Minister Renwood Wells has dismissed the concerns that some were irresponsible on Friday. Well, Princess Margaret Hospital patients are being asked to bring COVID-19 results when presenting at the emergency department. The hospital said if they've had a PCR or rapid antigen test within 72 hours, they should bring a copy when seeking emergency care to expedite the triage process, subsequent treatment within the department. The hospital is reminding persons to only access the emergency department in the event of a medical emergency. As a result of an increasing number of cases presenting for emergency care, the hospital's emergency department is operating at capacity. The Ministry of Health has now confirmed an additional 27 COVID-related deaths. They had previously been classified as deaths under investigation. All of those deaths on Grand Bahama between April and August this year, 13 of them just this month. The victims included 18 females, 7 males, ages 19 to 82. 20 deaths remain under investigation. 108 new COVID infections confirmed Saturday. The ministry encouraging Bahamians to get vaccinated against COVID. As of August 28, 57,593 people had been fully vaccinated. 91,967 received one shot. That's what's making news. I'm Taylor Ferguson. AP News is coming up next.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. Ida has weakened as it moves into Mississippi. Ida was a powerful hurricane when it reached Jefferson Parish in Louisiana. This is President Cynthia Lee Sheng.
Our systems are down. We have no electricity, no communication. Our water systems are down. We're losing pressure. We had to do a boil water advisory.
Governor John Bel Edwards says 2 million people are without power in Louisiana. More than 2,000 miles of transmission lines are out of service.
We are still in a life-saving mode here doing search and rescue. The roads, the highways into the most affected area were completely clogged with debris, down power lines, trees.
President Biden says Ida lived up to its potential of being a very powerful hurricane.
We're going to stand with you and the people of the Gulf as long as it takes for you to recover.
Officials are estimating it could be weeks for full restoration. I'm Ed Donahue.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
To Z Live, I'm Shabago Lang, your host. Today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259-325-4259. You can also text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. I'm talking generally about the issue of of ethics and conflicts of interest, and how it can arise in public life. And I say this in the back, against the backdrop of the situation at the Water and Sewage Corporation, which is not a one-off situation in any regard. I think over the course of our history, we've seen any number of such instances, allegations of such conflicts of interest. I know in my own public life, it has been a matter that I have had to contend with. Public conflicts of interest, what is important to note is there can be the perception of conflict of interest, which should be avoided. Which should be avoided as much as possible. You know, the Bible tells us even, in as much as in you lie, you know, that we should not let our good be evil spoken of, because that can happen. It doesn't mean you did evil, but it's possible that a situation can arise, good can be evil spoken of. You can with the best of intentions, you can with pure motives and intention, you can without regard to any gain or personal benefit, execute a function, and it can still give rise to the perception of public interest, of conflicts of interest. And we've seen this across our country, across many administrations. And so, but the real conflict of interest, the actual conflict of interest involves you're putting your personal interest, meaning a gain for yourself, your family, your friend, or somebody, gain, not a service to which they are entitled as a citizen, because this is also important to remember. Your friend, your family, your spouse, your lover, your children, are citizens of the Bahamas too when you are in public life. They are citizens too. So they are entitled to the same rights and they have the same responsibilities. And are not entitled to is to be especially treated above anyone else, especially as it relates to a benefit to themselves that conflicts with the public interest. Now, let's be practical here, because some of y'all is getting a little, hypocritical when you're ready. Before your mommy, your daddy become a minister or a member of parliament or a senator, you had all the hell in the world with why their children, why the children of ministers and members of parliament and senators get front seat here, get passes to this special event and that kind of stuff. Oh, Lord, who they think they is? I just as special as them. Mm-hmm. And then you or your friend or somebody you know became it. And all of a sudden, you won the passes. You won the Junkanoo tickets. You won the front seats. And you have no problem whatsoever with it at all. No problem. So clearly, for you, the ethical issue was situational. All right? So there are privileges and perks that will accrue to members of parliament and senators and ministers and their family as a natural consequence of the positions they hold. And we could deny that as much as we want. Does anybody in the Bahamas believe Sir Lyndon Pinden was treated like any Bahamian, any other Bahamian when he was prime minister? Or Hubert Alexander Ingram? Or Perry Gladstone Christie? Or now Hubert Dinis? Anybody believes that? They just as much human as you. Does anybody believe the cabinet ministers under Sir Lyndon Pinden was treated with any ordinary status as anybody else? See? Or under Mr. Ingram? I would tell you what Mr. Ingram did. Mr. Ingram said, boy, you all don't get caught up in all that stuff. Don't get caught up. You go to Bahamas, yes, stand on the line. If they call you, you could go. But don't go there showing yourself off. Nonetheless, there's no one who believes that in public life, in those positions, you're not going to be treated with some degree of extraordinariness. That's just being naive. And your children may get some of that. And your family. Shoot, you may even do something for your friends. You need some Jungle New tickets? You need some tickets to this? Oh, I'm trying to get my thing renewed. Okay, let me see what I can do. Y'all stop. Let's not lie in the Bahamas about the realities of the life we live in, and stop hating a lot of times because it's a courtesy you're not getting. I understand that. But let's not pretend. Now, the problem is, though, you cannot, like, you can't give a person who's in public office or someone they're related to or connected to, for instance, a passport that denies the ability of anybody else to get a passport. You can't do that. That's not in the public interest. Now you say, how that could happen? I don't know how it could happen, but all I'm saying is you can't do it. That's what conflict of interest is. When something you are doing is depriving the public of the advancement of their interest in your interest. That's where it is. Not that there's a conflict. There's always a conflict of interest in public life. Always. There are always decisions public officers are making, politicians are making, that represent conflicts of interest. For instance, it's private personal benefit. Sometimes it's doing this for the constituency deprives the country of something it could have. So that's where the issue is. When the interest conflict, it's because one takes precedence over the other and deprives the other of the ability to be carried out. And when you are in public life, that interest should always be primary. Now, y'all elect these people, you know. We elect these people. We who were elected by you. Those who are elected were elected by you. Right? So these people don't walk up to the parliament and say, well, you know, I'm a parliamentarian. I come to work. They don't do that. They have to go be duly nominated, as has happened on Friday. They have to present their credentials to a presiding officer or returning officer, who then certifies that they meet all the requirements of the law, and then they get nominated. Then they have to go out there and make their case to you, the voting public, and then they have to get more votes than everybody else. And when counted on election day, on polling day, on poll day, they are certified by the returning officer as the elected member of parliament, and then the returning officer sends that to the Governor General in compliance with orders of Her Majesty the Queen to conduct that poll. That's how they get in. There's no other way. You can't sneak in the House of Assembly. People got to vote you in. Grown adult people. You know, children can't vote you in. So we cannot blame our children for any elected official, because you got to be the age of majority in order to vote. That's 18. You're an adult. You could sign legal documents. Adults vote these people in. And so whatever the character deficiencies, flaws, and stuff like that, these were the people selected by you and me to go to the House of Assembly. So the question then is, if we believe, and I verily believe, that far too many of you hold politicians in enormous disrepute, even unelected politicians seeking to become politicians hold politicians in disrepute, and it's going to be one of them if they are lucky. They always talk like they ain't politicians. If you run for political office, you're a politician. Okay, stop talking nonsense. You just ain't get elected yet. You're running for public office. You are a politician. You are in the business of trying to get popular votes to get in the House. you in the business of promising and persuading. To get in the house, to be one of them big shots, sitting up in the parliament speaking, taking a microphone from the press speaking. That's what you are. You're one of them. So good that you can go to the House of Assembly and make a difference. You are one of them. And that you believe you're better than all the rest. Vote for me. You're one of them. Listen to what you said. I'm better than him, huh? No. Vote for me. So don't fool yourself. But you're not going to get in. The politician isn't going to get in without a vote. Enough vote. Enough votes from you. So the question is, how can you better? It's not possible to perfectly do so. You can only try better to do so. How can you better do so? Select people whose ethical standards and whose conviction of conscience gives you a lesser likelihood that they will practice corruption. Let me tell you what my experience is. My experience is that the vast majority of politicians in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas have been adverse to public corruption. The vast majority. That's my belief, conviction. I have no evidence I could give you to that. Only the evidence of the fact of how we have conducted our business in the country. However, there have been sufficient of them who have been willing to participate in political corruption. Many have not been caught. Many may not have been caught because our laws may not be clear and defined enough and refined enough to catch anybody. So in point of fact, they may not actually be committing any corruption in law, only in ethical standards. Okay? And on the other side of their ethical corruption or their ethical breach is a member of the public or members of the public. you who go there, you ain't a politician, you're not elected, but you go and give a tip to this one and that one to get something done for you. What is that? Are they supposed to be taking money from you to do their jobs? Are they? But ain't nothing wrong with that. Politician corrupt though. So you give somebody $100 to do something for you above everybody else. That ain't corruption. But because the fella gives somebody $10,000 to do something to them, that's corruption. The principle matters only to the size of the gift and to who's actually giving the gift. That's what the principle is. Come on. So what do we do to ensure lesser, because corruption undermines a democratic process. It does. It undermines trust. It undermines confidence. It reduces economic opportunities. It's a challenge. We've got callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing? Hello?
Hi, how you doing? I'm
you know, since Ingram won in 92, I think since he left in 2002, we've had four administrations since 2002, and it seems like this problem keeps coming up with this conflict of interest. And I'm wondering why haven't we put in place some ethics and government type legislation? Because I know FNM tabled one, but you know that went away when Palmer was paroled.
Well, let's be clear though. You're right. There might not be any ethics in government law, but there are laws against bribery. There's laws against kickbacks. there are laws against certain kinds of corruption in the country. So that you don't need an ethics law for that, because there are laws against that kind of stuff.
But how do you prove those things that you just mentioned? Because I remember
how do you prove rape or murder? You got to go investigate and find evidence.
Well, if you have government officials being appointed from their colonies, are they going to investigate their own people?
Yeah, but if you have a legal breach, no. If you have a legal breach and you go and take it to the police investigates.
The police investigates, like the Oban files are missing.
Yeah, but my friend, see, listen, if you call me and you ask me and you already agree that there is no solution, then why are we having the talk? Because that's what you believe.
I'm just saying, you said we don't need those ethics laws because we have these things.
Let me ask you a question. Were politicians ever taken before the courts in this country? Ever?
One time?
Not one time. That's not true. It doesn't matter if you get caught in the act or after the act. It doesn't matter. Every rapist is caught after the act.
Right. But I'm saying we have a couple cases that the Auditor General put before the government, and the government responsible for putting those things before the courts. The government never did those things.
No, the Auditor General asked, when did the Auditor General put something before the government that required the matter to go to court, for somebody to be charged? When did that happen? If you could send it to me, I'd be
happy. To be investigated by the police.
And I'm asking you, can you send me at least one example of that? I'd be happy to get it. You could text it to me.
I'll text it to you, but the National Guardian has published enough of those information.
I'll text it to you on the table
documents that he recommend a police investigation and the government did nothing. I'll text it to you.
Okay. That's possible. That is possible. Okay. I'm not going to deny that. That is possible. Okay. All right. I think we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, a pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Hey, I am, man. And yourself?
I'm well, thanks. Mr. Lang, you served for two terms, right? Non-consecutive
terms,
right?
Yes.
You came from among us. Did you not?
Came from where?
You came from among us. You were selected elected from among us, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Were there any scandals or any perception of any impropriety linked to you?
Yes.
Did you address it satisfactorily?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
So yes, I gave a full statement in the parliament.
Uh-huh. And that was accepted, right?
Well, and not so, really, but I had to, and I ended up putting the matter in court to sue. That's why I don't talk about it.
Okay. But as far as we know, the matter was resolved satisfactorily. And that is all we are asking for.
Well, because, you know, I worked for somebody. And let me tell you something. Mr. Ingram was a person like this. When the matter arose, Mr. Ingram called me. And he said, Shivago, what is this about? And he and I discussed, I explained, et cetera, et cetera. And Mr. Ingram said to me, he said, well, I would have handled the matter the same way. And he said, well, you know, you may have to give a statement in Parliament about it. And I said, yes, no problem, sir. All right. And so it was not a matter which either of us felt unwilling to account for.
And, you know, there are two courts, you know, the court of law and the court of public opinion. And, you know,
yes,
when somebody sees something and, you know, perception, they say it's not always reality, but sometimes it's very close. And so,
yeah, it is, yeah.
You know, and so when something is perceived to be corrupt and it's not addressed satisfactorily, it leaves more questions than answers.
That is very true.
How do we get our politicians, when a But when a candidate comes and asks me to support him, I can only take him at face value. Sometimes I don't know him from Adam or Eve or whatever. You know, you come
right.
3 weeks or something before. Oh, I represent this party, blah, blah, blah. I want you to do that. Oh, we can get rid of corruption, or we can get rid of all these corrupt PLP, FNM, DNA, whatever it is. Okay, yeah, I with you, man. Let's go. Boom. You get in and look your name in the paper, you know? So it's like...
You can't really do anything about a person making a choice that is unethical. That is true. You can't really, but you can really only understand or know what they profess as their standard of behavior. So you should, and you can ask them for an ethical guide to ask them, listen, can you show me what is your ethical guide to public conduct? Will you do this? Will you do that? Will you do the next thing? You could even ask them to sign such a sum if you want. But again, you're right. You can't know.
You know, Mr. Lang, you know, the PLP, I think they had a code of ethics that
sure.
they had implemented for MPs as well. The
sure,
this government
sure.
was implementing this integrity bill what they call it, DOA. And you know, but you know, it's one thing to have laws, but if these laws are not enforced, we might as well don't have them. You know, it's okay. We can always do this, and if people don't see that there's, you know, that there's some teeth to it. It's like you said, but you know, the government was supposed to have this report 20 days before or 30 days the financial report. Has that been done as yet? By the financial secretary?
I think recently I saw a press statement by the Minister of Finance saying that it was done.
And I saw
a statement by Senator Kwesi Thompson.
Okay. And so it was published, it was done, and it was published?
That's what my understanding was. But again, you know, even if it was published after the fact, though.
Yeah, you see, and so, you know, all we are looking for is for the government to be accountable. It's no use.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question though. Like, you know, when the law says the minister, that's not the minister, really. You know.
No, but I mean,
what I'm asking you is, if the government breaches it, what do you want to happen? How should we deal with it if the government breaches?
But what I'm saying. The government, and that's why we, like I said, Fred Smith make so much money out of the government, you know, because the very laws that the government passed in order, and they say we should do this, they circumvent the law. And it goes to court, and we, the taxpayers, will have to pay for it. If you pass the laws to say this is what, then do it. And that is the problem. That is the problem. You know, Mr. Chipman said that, you know, the Westminster system is a good system. All of the, the parliament has checked and balanced, but the government tries to circumvent all of those procedures. You know, the time when you're supposed to have question and answer in parliament, they do this, they do that, and try to circumvent the law, and you know, and all you know, the PAC,
Public Accounts Committee,
right? You know, that isn't functioning, and you know, how can we run?
Yeah, but if the Public Accounts Committee, because the opposition have the majority on it, and it's chairman on it,
Mrs. Lang. It could have the majority, but if the majority of the government, like somebody said, that you could be in power, but you don't necessarily have to be in government. You could have the power,
right.
But there are people above you, and if they don't want you to get something, they will stop you from getting it.
So the opposition, gets a blight because they aren't in power. So what's the point of the Public Accounts Committee?
You tell me. Nobody. That has never been effective, as far as I know.
Oh no, my brother. Because let me tell you something. If I was a Public Accounts Committee and I'm trying to do an investigation, every time you block me, I'll hold a press conference. That's effective.
Yeah, but
that's
very effective. But I mean, I have seen it. I have never seen bail. I mean, the government. I mean, even in the Turks and Caicos, I understand their ministers are questioned. You know what is going on with the front, this and that. You know,
I got you. I appreciate it, man. I gotta go. But I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
BTC gives more savings on the best fiber internet. It's super fast with super savings in every package. Compare and see for yourself. Enjoy up to 150 megabits per second plus 157 TV channels and unlimited home phone minutes for only
$99.99. Best rate, no less.
Visit a BTC store to sign up for the best internet experience on the Bahamas' best fiber network. Conditions apply.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
The FNM is working to build a better future for us all, investing in our youth, delivering tax relief to families and businesses, investing in workforce development, and offering training and assistance to new business owners and entrepreneurs. The FNM is working to build a prosperous post-pandemic economy. On September 16th, we have the opportunity to vote for a brighter future. Vote FNM, because it's about your future.
This has been a paid political announcement from the Free National Movement.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian, this government was nowhere to be seen.
Your aid is coming from the U.S. What are you getting from the Bahamian government?
Nothing at all.
Survivors questioned if help from the government would ever arrive.
As relief supplies are now finally arriving, volunteers complain about Bahamian government red tape.
At this point in time, we are on our own, and we're trying to get our government officials, please come down here and show your faces.
When they were needed most, this government was nowhere to be found.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 326-4316 or 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. I have a text here, says, Mr. Lang, I thought you were smart and knew things. So if I give someone something to buy lunch, that's tipping. Once the transaction goes over $100, then that is corrupt. Woo!
This text says, good afternoon. A politician who served as MP was sent to prison, MP Moss, some years ago. Okay, I remember that. Thank you very much for the reminder. We sometimes our history on these matters are not always so good. This text says, no, I meant if you enter public life, one shouldn't indicate that people's lives are stake as to say we shouldn't attack them. And that's not what I'm talking about. Man, come on, man. Come on. I'm saying they open themselves up to attack. Granted, the attack should be substantiated. I agree with you. However, I'm curious to know why Mr. Gibson isn't in police custody. At least he wasn't the last I checked. Why should he be in police custody? What? How do you get in police custody? The police either observes you in the process of a crime or has reasonable cause to believe that you have committed or are going to commit a crime, and or a complaint is made to police as to your having a crime, and then they investigate. So why should he be in police? What is wrong with you? Oh, boy, what a world I'm living in. What a world I am living in. Anyways, so the thing about it is that when you are in public life, this is true of us generally, but in public life, you have to be guided by a number of ethical principles, right? And the first of those ethical principles is that there are human rights in the world that don't derive from any law. Because when a right is derived from a law as such, that right is a civil right. But a right that is derived from your status as a human being is a human right. The right to life, the right to liberty. These are not civil rights. These are your human rights. Nobody has the right to enslave a human being. Nobody has the right to kill a human being. Nobody has the right to go. So these are human rights. And so a public officer, a political figure, should be committed to human rights, the protection and promotion of human rights. And then as a part of the ethical standards, they must look in the law and see what the law demands of them as a standard. The law demands disclosure. The law demands that you comply with this. The law demands that you not do that. Then all of those things written in the law become ethical mandates for me. They are mandated by law. I can't negotiate them. They happen to be a fact of my existence as a member of parliament or as a senator, and I'm responsible for compliance with these mandates, okay? And so if somebody is seeking your vote and is not informing themselves of the laws and what they require of them, then they need to go ahead and do that. If they get elected, they have a requirement to find out what the law requires of them. Okay? If somebody's appointed a cabinet minister, they must know what the law says about their responsibilities as a cabinet minister in that portfolio. Because if you're the Minister of Consumer Affairs, there's pieces of legislation that relate, especially price control and these things that provide lawful mandates to you. Same thing for education and finance and every position, there are laws that govern how that position ought to conduct itself. And so you want to know what the law says. Thirdly, you want to know what are the standards that this community upholds? Now, you may not be yourself in agreement with all those standards, but the fact that those standards exist means that you want to at least demonstrate some regard for those standards in the way you conduct your affairs. Whether that's those standards are Christian or Muslim, or those standards happen to be of a certain cultural nature. We say hello when we greet each other in this country, when we pass by each other. If that is a part of the norm of the community, as a politician, you want to the extent possible, to the extent that that doesn't offend your own personal convictions, you want to observe those community standards. It's hard to say you want to be a member of the House of Assembly in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and ignore the norms and standards that the Bahamas has as practices of conduct. That's hard. You setting yourself up for real and genuine conflict. And then finally, as a political figure, you want to have personal convictions. You want to have ethical standards that are your own, that are higher than those community standards, higher than the lawful mandates you have, and in compliance with human rights. You want to have personal ethical guidance for yourself, because this is how you get to make the decisions you're going to have to make between the things that pose ethical dilemmas for you. And those are things that voters, astute voters, should ask about. What is your philosophy of life? Okay? From whence do you derive your philosophy of life? What guides that philosophy of life? What are the virtues in which you believe? Honesty, humility. What are the virtues that you uphold? What are the values that guide your behavior? What are the principles that you hold as irrefutable? What are they? Not what you can do for my children. What about my mortgage at the mortgage corporation? What about that government contract I've been trying to get for years? What about that land, a piece of land I've been trying to get from the government for years? What you gonna do for me? How about, what's your philosophy of life? What guides how you decide what is right and wrong? What is it that you hold dear when it comes to values? From whence comes your values? How have you tried to practice these? What happens if you breach them? How do you deal with that if you breach them? Are you somebody who believes in repenting? Are you somebody who believes in apologizing? Are you somebody who believes in forgiving and forgiveness? You can ask people these things and get a better sense, not a perfect, but a better sense of even whether they think about these things. We have some text here. It says there's a difference between privileges and outright conflict of interest where money and contracts are involved with related parties, especially. I agree with you 100%. There is no question about that. Okay? And also remember this. Just because a conflict of interest exists or could exist doesn't mean it prevents someone from proceeding, especially where the only obligation they have is disclosure. If a member of parliament has a contract with the government or has an interest in a contract with the government, their requirement is to disclose. There is nothing that prevents them from pursuing, but they have to disclose it and they have to get the consent of the parliament to pursue it. Now, why would a parliament do that? Why would a government, a country do that? Because it is possible that the best person to do something for you is a member of parliament. And you shouldn't deprive
especially in a context of either the country of the ability to get that skill or the person of the ability to earn that keep if it works for the benefit of the country. But you can't do it in secret. Okay? So just remember that. Some of y'all don't think through some of these things, and you think that it is just the matter of the outright. What is outright conflict of interest? What is outright? What does that mean? What does that mean? That I have an interest in something and it bucks with the people's interest and not just outright? What does that mean? This text says we don't elect people or individuals. We elect colors or parties. We elected persons. If we elected persons, it may be better. Okay. All right. I tell you one thing. Every time you go to vote, that tick is put on the side of a person's name. And a person goes to parliament. Shivago Sean Lang went to parliament. And it is also true that not in every instance does the person only vote for party. Sometimes they do vote for the person. Sometimes. Okay? We have another text here. Says, Shivago, please recommend the coalition. I must recommend the coalition? I'm not recommending the FNM. I'm not recommending the PLP. I'm not recommending the DNA or anybody else that I must recommend. Recommend the coalition? Why? That'd be something in the newspaper tomorrow. Shivago Lang, the head of the government of public policy, has now recommended the coalition to be the government. I'm sorry, my friend. That's not possible. It's not possible. We at the Government and Public Policy Institute, I might say, advanced a recommendation or proposal to the two major political parties defined by us as those having had representation in the House of Assembly and or having greater than, I think it was 10% votes in the last general election, 10% of the votes in the last general election. So once I hear back from them, I'll let you know. So when you look at the issue at the Water and Sewage Corporation, where does the conflict of interest come in? It would come in if the public could have been served by a contract from one party capable of delivering that contract for a smaller amount of money rather than by another person delivering that contract for a larger sum of money and having been able to do so merely because of the relationship that person had to the chairman. Now, the chairman says that the contract went before the board. And while you may not regard that as a defense, and it can't be a complete defense, to be had that a matter goes before a board, and the board of directors takes account of the matter and approves it. Now, here is what needs to be determined. One, did the matter in fact go before the board? Two, how did the matter go before the board? Three, was the board in full awareness of the details of who the contract was for and whether there was a relationship between that person and the chairman, and then did they take account of whether that became the overriding issue in whether the contract was awarded, because they satisfied themselves that in regard to other bids, this was the best of the bids. That's what you appointed a board for. It has strategic control and direction of the corporation. So if in those circumstances, the board was fully aware and thought nothing of it, the chairman does have some coverage. But now then the board gets to have itself under scrutiny for it. Because if it could, you can send something to a board and the board doesn't know everything. But if you're on the board, if you're on the board of a company, you have a duty to try to put yourself in the know. Because you are going to, if something happens, be held accountable and responsible. If the board did not know, the chairman threw the board under the bus. I didn't hear from the board. So presumably, the board agrees. We don't know. The prime minister, who is the coordinator of the cabinet, has not yet done anything or said anything about it. So for the time being, Mr. Gibson seems to be in the clear from the prime minister, who and doesn't only appoint those people. That's not true. You're appointed by the board, right? You're appointed by the cabinet. The prime minister may have chosen you, but in the formality of things, there's a cabinet conclusion appointing so-and-so to the board. And so ordinarily, when I was there, what would happen is Mr. Ingram or others would say, who do you recommend for this? I recommend so-and-so. And people might say, yes, I agree with that. Boom, cabinet conclusion. So-and-so appointed to the board. So don't let nobody fool you. Try and just say, oh, it's the prime minister. He ultimately has responsibility, but the board makes these appointments. Makes these appointments. So if the prime minister don't say nothing, remember, people serve at the pleasure. He don't say nothing. The man is in the clear for now, you know? And so one has to see in the end how this all transpired. Now, let me say this to you. Some of y'all ain't fair. You're not fair. You are not fair. I'm not afraid to call a spade a spade. Some of us are not fair. We believe, as a general principle, that you are innocent until proven guilty. Innocent. And you, some of us, don't believe that until somebody comes and accuses. Yeah, child, I hear you rape her. Yeah, child, I hear he thief that money from the bank. Yeah, child, I hear he abused his daughter. And when that happens to us, and we are under that suspicion, without having anything being proved, we are the first to say, but what happened to being innocent until proven guilty? The court of public opinion might be a real thing, but they don't represent the truth. They don't represent the truth. They just represent a perception of a thing. And while that might cause you to suffer outcast by the community and talking and whispering and rumorizing from the community, it's not the truth. Don't have to be the truth. We live in a country where you are innocent until proven. How do you prove? By virtue of evidence. So if there's an investigation or a confession or a court case and a conviction, then you're proven guilty. Until then, nothing goes on your record. Nothing other than someone's view and opinion is against you. Okay? And that's true for the PLP, that's true for the FNM, that's true for the DNA, that's true for everybody. You're innocent, but now I understand the nature of politics in our country now. And some of y'all politicians, just remember, boy, the world is round. Just remember, the world is round. Okay? You play your games now. Just remember, there may be a later. Okay? Be careful. Mr. Ingram used to tell us all the time, only do in office what you could live with when you're out of office. All right? So you want to prosecute former politicians? One day you're going to be a former politician. Can you withstand that prosecution? Without real, weighty, substantial evidence in support of what you're doing? You want to accuse people of corruption while you're out of office? While you're in office? Okay, let's see how that works out for you. Do in office what you can live with out of office. And on the flip side of that, do out of office what you could live with in office. So if you could live with it, carry right on. That's what you say. Carry on smartly. But if you want to have a sustainable scenario, you can raise questions. That's fair. As an opposition, you have a right. As a government, as a politician, you have a right to raise questions of public life and public officers. That's a right. But accusing people of wrongdoing without evidence, without proof, that could be crossing the line. And yeah, you go in public life, you open yourself up to these things, that don't make it right. That don't make it right. But, you know, it's our choice. We get to decide how we want to operate and conduct ourselves. And with that said, c'est là. C'est là. C'est là. You were listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. Listen, Nahaja Black is up next. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.